Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Pull out of the shadows and find that eventually. There we are, where we are, and what we are is still family.
It's Monday. That's the day that we talk about family on The Takeaway. We've decided to continue a conversation you started last week about where the wild things are. And if you're a parent, you already know that, like it or not, say what you will, boys are just different than girls.
I like the way you destroy stuff. Good technique. There's a spark to your work that can't be taught.
Thanks.
That doesn't need to come from the movie. That could be Saturday morning at my house. Joining us to talk about raising boys is Lisa Belkin, author of the New York Times parenting blog, Motherload. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
So how often does this question come up? People who see boys being very energetic, often destructive, and they wonder whether or not it's normal.
Well, every time you see a boy being destructive, you wonder whether it's normal. I mean, every time you see your child do much of anything, you wonder whether it's normal. And what was interesting about the movie is that, who knew? This book is a parenting primer. It's an instruction on how one way to handle it the right way.
We've had a number of responses from listeners. Carol wrote to thetakeaway.org, "I have to believe that even for my own three boys, often wild, despite my efforts, when it comes to right and wrong, it's about teaching them what they will remember and what will stop them in their tracks when faced with the opportunity to do otherwise." We're also joined by Michelle Seaton, co-author of The Way of Boys, Raising Healthy Boys in a Challenging and Complex World. And the other author of that book is Anthony Rayo, child psychologist. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So,
good morning.
Michelle, this issue came up for you in a very personal way. What happened with your son?
Shortly after my son turned three, his preschool teacher sat me down and said flat out, he is not developing normally. He's not developing. He's not making enough eye contact.
What was her issue?
He's not talking enough. He's not interacting with his peers enough, and you need to contact the public school system and get him tested right now. He needs intervention right now.
And you got him tested?
We did get him tested. I was scared out of my mind.
Of course you were.
That if he's behind now, what's going to happen later? And I think a lot of mothers feel this way. We did get him tested by the school system, and we did what the preschool teacher did. We called them and said, he has a problem, he has a disorder, you've got to test him right now. And it shouldn't be too surprising that they did decide that he had a disorder. He got an IEP. He was put into a special preschool designed to help him be more normal. And it wasn't until many months later that we were able to get him in to see a pediatric neurologist who evaluated him and then said to me, get this kid out of my office. There's nothing wrong with him.
And you eventually contacted Dr. Tony Rayo.
Yes, who has an incredible perspective on this kind of development and this kind of thing that's happening all over the place, and exactly how to parent boys to get their attention and to understand their development.
So, Tony Rayo, you heard our Takeaway contributor Lisa Belkin talking about how often this comes up with her. You're a child psychologist. How often do you get questions from parents who feel like their boys are out of control?
Oh, it's all the time. Just looking at how boys are such an easy target to get diagnosed. They are diagnosed at least three times more than girls for ADHD, and that has gone up tremendously over a recent 10-year period, and it's the most common pediatric problem now in the United States. Only here do we have pediatricians worried about ADHD as something that's happening during the 10-15 minutes that you're lucky to get time with your pediatrician. Now we got bipolar disorder being diagnosed. It's increased 4,000% in a 10-year period, along with antipsychotics being used in youth and adolescents and very young kids. But predominantly, hands down, it's boys who get these diagnoses and these medications.
I myself have an 11-year-old boy, and a very close friend of mine has two girls who are very girly and prim. And every time he would have a play date at their house, he would be running around like a savage around their house. And their dad would look at me and say, "What is wrong with your kid?" And I would have to explain to him that there really is a difference in energy levels and play styles of boys and girls.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Actually, from day one, boys just move more than girls. You know, in infant research, they show that. They don't make as good eye contact. Their social skills are not as well developed. They don't get their first words. Their vocabulary is less than girls. By the time they reach school, they're about a year behind in some of the social, emotional, and certainly the language areas, and all those things are really a setup for when we put them into longer school days. We ask them to do more when they're younger. They need to be outdoors more. They need to be more active. And when they're indoors, they're going to be like Max. They're going to, you know, they're going to romp around. They're going to chase the dog. I'm going to go on record here and just say, hey, this is a boy who, you know, would have been diagnosed back in 1963. That's when the book was published, with, you know, ADHD.
Well, but Lisa Belkin, takeaway contributor, author of the Motherload blog at our partner, the New York Times. I mean, is that to say that the alternative is to send active boys to an island with a lot of really huge furry creatures, as opposed to diagnosing them with ADHD and giving them antipsychotic drugs?
Well, sometimes some parents would like to. I think that one of the messages here is that if the system doesn't work for 50% of your population, then maybe there's something a little bit wrong with the system. The other message here is the way the mom in this story handles it. I mean, people are always writing to me to say, okay, I know what I'm not supposed to do. I'm not supposed to scream, and I'm not supposed to spank, and I'm not supposed to restrain, and I'm not, but what am I supposed to do? And in this film, what mom does is send the boy who is acting out, the wild boy, to his room.
So Lisa and Michelle, I'm going to ask you the same question. Our takeaway question today is about backseat parenting, because everyone gets backseat parented, right? I mean, mother-in-law, your neighbors, your teachers, obviously, Michelle.
Yep.
So Lisa, let me ask you, I'll have you answer this first, and then Michelle, how do you advise people to handle armchair parenting?
Well, I noticed when you told your story, you were at a friend's house, and the friend's father, the kid's father, said, why is your son acting like that? So, yeah, everybody feels entitled to their opinion. And we are so unsure of ourselves in this department that we have to pick apart everyone else's. The solution is certainty in what you're doing, but we don't have that. Short of that, I'm not sure of the solution.
Well, Michelle, how did you handle it when you went back to the school and you did not put him on medication anymore? How did you handle the comments?
Well, he was taken out of that school. He's one of those boys that we talk about who was expelled from a certain preschool and didn't go back there. But I, you know, what I talk about, what I think of for mothers, you just need to know that your son is okay in your heart. And what I like about this, the time out or the time away, and what Max's mother does for him, is that you're handling it in your own way, and you're teaching your son, you're putting him in his room, and you're teaching him to control his own behavior. You're teaching him to control his own emotions. I think that's what you're doing. You have to know that you are helping your son learn the skills that he needs to learn.
I guess that's the takeaway, teaching them how to handle it themselves. Michelle Seaton and Anthony Rayo co-authored the book, The Way of Boys, Raising Healthy Boys in a Challenging and Complex World. We're also joined by Lisa Belkin, takeaway contributor, author of the Family and Parenting blog at our partner, The New York Times.
Makes you want to know what Maurice Sendak's relationship with his mom was.
Right.
Yes, where the wild things are in the pediatrician's office, maybe. Boys, girls, other wild things, tell us your parenting story, 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org.